Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Max Show. I'm Jeff Gamet, your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and super excited to be here today because this is a doubleheader episode. Dave's cosplay and Colorado's burning down. do we know how to do Summer of Fun or what? Actually, our Summer of Fun topic today will be different, but I expect both of these other topics will find their way in somehow. That's how we rolled. Speaking of awesome cosplay, Dave, how are you?
I am doing great. I may not have came today, but I realized I didn't have to leave until another hour, so I thought I'd join you, everybody, and have some fun. I thought I'd wear a costume just for you.
That is awesome, and you wear it well. I can see you out on the field right now. It is so easy to visualize.
We're attending a Chicago Cubs game today, so that's why I'm wearing my costume.
That's awesome. I can visualize as the players all come out on the field. I mean, you know, they do the announcement thing. And what position are you going to play?
Maybe we'll play first base.
First base.
Left out. Oh,
that makes sense. You're left-handed. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And now out on the field, first base, multi-Academy Award winner, Dave Ginsberg.
Go sports team.
How was that? That's just like we were there.
Yeah.
All right. Now I need a beer.
Or five.
Or five, because we're at a baseball game. Right. Patrice, how are you? Speaking of beer.
Not having beer, I don't even have some, even though I live in the country of one of the countries of beer. No, I'm good.
You live in a target-rich environment for quality beer.
Yes, so much. Quality, I'm not sure, but I also don't care about beer. I'm good. I'm good. It is freaking hot. We're beyond 90 degrees Fahrenheit, so 35 probably Celsius, something like that. And it is humid, so I'm sweating. But other than that, I mean, I had the week off, so I came back from London. I had a great week, did some cool stuff. Not as much as I thought, but I did some at least. So I'm good. Did not fly as much as I thought I would, but it's just been, you know, one of those weeks.
Yeah, well, you're indoors.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's cooler where you are, right?
Marginally, but yes.
Sometimes we have to take it as we can get it.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to do a sports ball intro for you two, and I figured I'm not sure how we could top what I just did for Dave.
No, and thanks for not doing it.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, but I will point out I have no idea what award you get for baseball, which is why Dave suddenly won multiple Academy Awards.
Maybe he plays a sports ball person on TV. Movies.
I'll get a Gold Glove Award for first base.
Yeah. Okay. First base would be Golden Glove.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
Not to be confused with Golden Globe.
No.
But I would have been happy to award you a couple Golden Globes too. Yeah. Speaking of Marty, how are you?
It's been a absolutely horrible week with work and with the start of classes at the university and faculty resigning 2 days before classes start. And my job finding replacements for their classes. I am so glad to be here on Friday morning with friends talking about fun stuff. You know, I can say this to Dave because I'm a Cubs fan too, but I when Dave originally said he wasn't going to be here in the Slack that we share, I said, well, Dave had to choose between two sets of losers and he went with the Cubs. But now he doesn't have to choose.
Yeah, I don't.
The best of both worlds.
Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of Borg references, because Chuck, I know you'll get it. How are you?
I'm good, Jeff, but I'm kind of curious. I mean, did you have like quadruple T's or something? You seem extra hyper energized. Or is something burning in Colorado that maybe is getting you energized?
Well, to be fair, I'm in Colorado, so you never know what the smoke is from.
That's why I ask,
Yeah, but usually that would calm you down.
Yeah, usually you get a little
calm. Yeah, unless depends on what's burning. So.
That's true. Yeah. Chuck, I seriously have no idea why I'm like this. Let's go with Punch Drunk because I didn't sleep great last night. I haven't even had time to make tea yet today.
Oh,
so I have
gosh.
No caffeine in me. Maybe that's fine. I'm going through withdrawals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's possible. That would make sense. Okay, well, good. Well, I hope you survive the weekend.
Oh, me too. I mean, no caffeine in me. We could get about 15 minutes into the show, and I just suddenly drop out of frame, and that's it. Mm. Maybe my cat hops up into the camera, carries on the show. Who knows? Or maybe I just keep doing sports announcements for Dave for the whole show. And because it is summer of fun. Anyhow, yeah. All right. So I could just keep digging this hole that I've got going here, but
just
instead,
keep digging.
Who am I kidding? I'll just keep digging. Patrice, you came up with a great idea for today's summer fun topic.
Yep.
Tell me about that, please.
So, yeah. As usual, we take inspiration from other places, and I know other places are doing drafts sometimes, and I thought it was a fun idea, like to just have a list of things, and we pick one and tell everybody why we think that is, why we put it in that place, or why we picked it from that list. And since this is a Mac show, and we usually talk more about the positive sides of what Apple is doing, I thought it would be fun to do the most overhyped macOS and iOS features. So we have a list of, I don't know how many, probably like 20 or so things we picked, or things that Perplexity picked for us and we added to. And we'll just go around and everybody picks one. And once it's picked, it's off the list, of course. So I don't know who wants to go first. I guess I'll do them. Since nobody wants.
Actually, before you do that, seriously, I've heard people talk about we're doing a draft. I've literally no idea how this works.
It's just as I said. It's mostly just there's a list. You pick it. You talk. You tell us about why. We might have a brief discussion, and that's it. Like it's basically love it, hate it. I don't know, redo it, whatever we want to talk about. It's that simple. It's not that. Like, we have the list.
Okay.
And then we just tackle one by one, and that's it.
Sounds good. Okay. I'm with you now.
Okay,
you can tell I'm clearly big in the sports stuff.
Yeah, I mean, same here. I just, I know it's a thing, so. I'll go first, and on that list there's a ton of stuff that I'm like, okay, maybe not. But for me, it's Animoji and Memoji so far, because I don't know, that the whole Memoji thing, it's fun for like a hot second, and then you're like, okay, I could probably add Genmoji to it, since it's kind of the same idea. It's just generated things that you can attach to messages mostly, I think, in Messages app. I don't know if half of the people even know it exists. They might have seen it. But it's just, I don't know, it's just, I find it useless. It's like, what's the benefit over the normal reactions, to be honest? I mean, half of the time, it covers even the thing you're talking about, so it can't read it anymore. So it's kind of double bad.
You know, the whole Memoji thing, I don't even use that on the messages. There's like two people, I think, where I will use... I did set up my Memojis. What do I use? The Jeff facepalm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably the only one I ever use.
Yeah, and there's like two or three people that I use that with, mm-hmm. but I just send it as an individual thing. I never try and attach it to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's stupid how it works.
Yes.
It's difficult to find the stuff once you've made it, assuming you figured out how to make your Memojis.
Yeah.
And then attaching them as stickers, mm-hmm. or reactions to messages is not intuitive.
Nope.
Yeah, I am with you.
And does anybody even remember how they were made? I think that wasn't it a reaction to stickers becoming super popular and Apple kind of wanting to do something?
I have a couple creepy ones of me waving at people, and it captured that, and I send it out every once in a while. I also have never got into this. You know, I've thought about this as very generational. Mm-hmm. There are a few times it's like, I really want to put this emoji in. And then I go and I search for it and it doesn't exist. And I'm like, why wouldn't they have an emoji for this? I mean, they have an emoji for all sorts of crazy stuff. This is just kind of what I would think a normal common item that you would find in it. And it's not there. So... Patrice, you took one of my two that I had figured out. So.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to add another. Oh, go ahead, Chuck, and then I'll add my stupid Genmoji comment.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw in. I mean, frankly, this was of the list here. These were my top ones. But that said, you know, that it means it's not for me. So it was overhyped as far as I was concerned. I do think there are people out there that use these, and I think, you know, once again, we may not be the audience for this.
I don't know anybody. I've not seen, like, I've watched people on, like, trains, planes, automobiles, whatever. I've never seen anybody use them. Actually, that's not true. I know one person, Doc Rock. It's the only person I know of that uses them.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's it. I think it requires a certain... And this is not a disparaging thing. It requires a certain mindset to be aware of these and to feel that they are worth the time, mm-hmm. and because look, the effort to create them is not that big a deal. Yeah. You know, let's face it, because we all played with them at one point just to see, but to kind of remember you can do it requires a certain, I think a certain way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any of us share that. So.
Maybe.
Yeah. The only person that has ever sent me Genmojis is Brian Chaffin. And every time he sends me a Genmoji, this is so Brian, the way it works out. He's been experimenting with something, and he sends me a Genmoji to show me how bad Genmoji works.
That's so Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to interpret somebody else. I mean, Chuck, you talked about how it's creative and you've got to put these things together and stuff like that. I don't want to open up a message and have to figure out the hieroglyphics before I can get to what the person's actually talking about.
No, 100%.
I'm on emoji. Like, I use emoji all the time, so that's different.
Yeah. Well, I have Patrice, I'm with you. I use a limited number of emoji.
That's true.
You know, but I also am kind of not particular, but just they have a place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a wink emoji, a smile emoji, a grin emoji, you know, is, you know,
face palm is probably, very important.
Yeah. You know, but beyond that, I mean, I look at some of the ones that are, and oh, you know, we see these articles come out, 11 more emojis coming.
Yeah, every year.
And it's like, okay, when would I use this particular emoji?
Thousands.
But let's move on.
Use them for sexting.
Oh, that's true. That is true. But let's have someone else have it. Sorry, I'm interrupting that. But
to Jeff's point, okay, those at least have a use. But, you know, a picture, I don't know, of like, you know, a concrete block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would I care? So, But I'm with you, Patrice. Yeah, we've probably beat on this one too
Yeah,
much.
and we should do more drafts. So who's going to go next?
I'll talk
go
about.
Next. Oh, go ahead, Dave.
I'll talk about center stage. I don't like center stage. I don't use it. I mean, even with my webcam here at the auto tracking, as soon as I put my hands up, it's going to start moving. I'm going to turn that off. But center stage, I see its point but then I watch people, especially in business meetings, if they have that something like that turned on, and they're moving like this and back and forth, and the cameras weren't moving them. There's a point to it. I mean, I just bought this contraption that actually it does tracking. But when you mount your iPhone on it, and it's a big thing now, especially with content creators, because they want to be able to record themselves and getting more hands free. And I understand that, but even on the iPad, you use it, and on your Mac, I'm not a fan of it. I think it's something that it has a good intent, but it just drives me crazy when I'm watching people doing that because they don't know how to control it. That's the thing, I'm perfectly fine the way we are now. I mean, we talk, we're sitting on camera here, and it doesn't move. I'm good. Until I move my hand, start moving my hands here. It'll do it. Or go, if I think it'll go like this, it'll happen. But with my thumbs. But yeah, I just drives me crazy.
Yeah, I'm with
you. I think it's way overhyped. Yeah.
I'm with you. I mean, it's like, it's one of those things Apple introduced. Like, oh, this is so good, and we have to have it, or whatever. And I've tried it. I've seen people try it. It's not even good. Like, I mean, I get the idea of like, oh, yeah, and they showed it in demos. It was like, oh, yeah, like, what if someone joins in on the call and then it rearranges things or whatever? Yeah, cool idea, but usually nobody does that. Very few people.
I'm going to speak up in defense of it only in one case. Every couple of weeks, every week, I do a call, a Zoom call. Mm-hmm. With my sister in Chicago. And, you know, it's great to have my wife join us, but sometimes she's out doing stuff and then she will come and sit back down next to me to continue the conversation, and it automatically fills the frame.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do any tweaking, anything like that to make it happen. That's the one case scenario that I've seen it of value. Other than that, it's always interrupting whatever I'm trying to do in terms of video on the web. And I have to find the secret place to shut it off.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It will just keep my camera still.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not as if you couldn't just do it differently before. You would just rearrange it, like, or just move your iPad or your Mac a little bit. The couple of times where I had it enabled, like, I'm sitting on the couch and I like turn left and grab something and then it moves around and I turn back and then the camera is off to the left and now it has to move back, so it's like a whole thing. And I'm like, if you had just stayed where you were, it would have been perfectly fine. So I usually turn it off.
Yep.
Good one. Very good one. Who is the next one?
Marty, go ahead.
Marty.
I'll go with touch bar.
At least it's gone.
Man, I wanted that to be so cool. And it was just, I forgot it was there. You know, and it took away my F function keys, unless I deliberately set it for F function keys. There's no tactile feedback on it. You had to look down in order to do it, breaking flow from what was going on in the screen. The context switching was really kind of a cost, moving the buttons around between apps. So there was no consistency in terms of what to find. Some of the things like increasing your volume, hell, you just hit the volume switch on your keyboard. It's easier than reaching up, finding and doing it. Yeah. I would forget it's there and then I'd berate myself and say, I need to start using this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would attempt to use it and then I'd just go ahead and forget it was there. It was like having to learn a whole new system of integration.
Yeah.
And you know, the idea of having to take my eyes off the screen, which I do a lot anyways, but in order to do a function versus just using a mouse or a trackpad to do the function seemed ridiculous for me. So I went through maybe one or two computers with touch bars.
Oh,
and
I had a lot of time. Cool. I kind of disagree, but only slightly. I agree that ultimately it was useless. The only area it was actually good at was anything with sliders, like basically like the stream decks or whatever. But I think it's an idea that was not a bad idea in theory, but it never went anywhere. I would have loved to have kind of like a stream deck like thing, like a separate device, mm-hmm. for example, that I can put on my Mac, or just add it to the keyboards, like the wireless keyboards or whatever. And they never mm-hmm. did.
Or
they
put
never
it, a, it put it across.
Yeah.
Put it across a trackpad.
Exactly.
Across the top of a track.
Something like that. And Apple never did anything with it. It basically stayed more or less the same the entire time they had it. It got no extra capabilities. Very few apps even supported it because they always had to have a fallback. Like, it just said, cool idea, just never went anywhere. I still like the idea of having a completely flexible keyboard, because I do switch keyboard layouts a lot between German and English. Usually I'm in English, but every now and then I need a German keyboard. Mm. And I can type on an English keyboard with a German layout. Like, I'll switch to the German layout just virtually. But it would have been nicer to have that. But there's a different way than doing it how they did it. I mean, as you said, the feedback part was already pretty bad. Could have been solved.
So I still have one of my MacBook Pros has the touch bar,
mm-hmm.
and I liked it. Patrice, you kind of hit on a couple things. For scrolling, like in Final Cut, mm-hmm. it was a dream. It was just what you needed.
Yeah.
I wish, because I don't know about you, but there are times I would like to assign either things to function keys or, more importantly, mm-hmm. keyboard shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
And the Stream Deck lets you do that.
Yes.
And yet they never implemented that. And of course, I don't know if they'd gotten sued over it, but they never, if they could have implemented it so that I could have assigned things to a keyboard bar like that
mm-hmm.
at the top, I think that would have been, you know, fantastic.
Yeah.
I admit that there are times that I still reach for the touch bar that's not mm-hmm. there, especially in Final Cut. So I don't think it was a failure.
Hmm.
I think it was not developed properly.
Yeah, it was definitely overhyped at the end for what it was.
Yeah, poor, and so maybe.
Yes.
Well, I'm not ready to go to say that, Dave. It just, I think they threw it out there. They did some things with it, and unfortunately, it never caught anybody's attention enough to continue to develop it. And I think, you know, it just was a little one of those ignored Apple features, or one of those things that they thought maybe it was either an experiment to see if people would use it and they didn't, or it was a failure on somebody's part to recognize what it could be.
Mm.
And, you know, it's gone.
Yeah.
I actually loved my touch bar. The problem that I had, the problem that I see, is that and this plays into everything everyone's been saying, and Patrice, you brought it up specifically, we needed it on Apple's wireless keyboards.
Yes.
Because Apple put it on one device, the MacBook Pro with Touch Bar, there was no incentive for developers to support this.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. instead of being a feature on the Mac, it was an add-on for one specific computer model, and I had that horrible feeling that it was going to fail
mm-hmm.
because Apple didn't add this to other places where people were using their mm-hmm. keyboards all the time anyhow.
I mean, they barely added it to other Macs, to be honest, right? I mean, it's like the MacBook Pros, and I think even the top line MacBook Pros were the only ones. Even the stupid 13-inch MacBook Pro that wasn't really a MacBook Pro never got it. They just kept the function role, right? So mm-hmm. it's, yeah, as you said. Who's got the next one?
I feel obligated.
Okay.
Siri.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
Siri, stop.
She's like, are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Love me.
Just whisper.
Wow. Okay, I did not expect that to be on the list.
Okay. So here's the deal. It has been way overhyped for what it's actually capable of, and it has never evolved into what it can be.
True.
And what Apple implied we would be able to do with this voice assistant tool. And I think in many ways, it's actually slid backwards in reliability.
Oh, 100% it has.
So, like in my case right now, I have gone from fighting with my iPhone or my HomePods all the time to make things happen. I will try and get something to happen once or twice, and then I either switch to doing it like with tapping stuff on my iPhone.
Like a caveman?
like a fracking caveman. Or I tell the A-Lady to do the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard from people, A-Lady is also not that much better.
if my HomePod isn't going to do the thing,
yeah,
oftentimes the A-Lady actually will. And the A-Lady doesn't ask me every single time, nearly, I go to do something, is this Jeff? And I say yes. And it says, you need to authenticate on your iPhone to do this.
Maybe you have a doppelganger that visits your home when you're not there and plays with your stuff. And that's why she doesn't recognize you.
Right. Yes. But here's the thing. Mm. You just keep telling it to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually it goes, okay.
Mm.
So why tell me I need to authenticate if you're just going to do the thing anyhow?
Yeah,
you passive aggressive little piece of technology. Anyhow,
no, I'm with you. I'm not sure it's overhyped. Maybe a little bit, because it's like the way it was introduced and what it was supposed to become, and what actually happened are very, very different paths, and it hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't gone where it should be. But like, I want her or him, her, them, to be really better. But I've screamed more than multiple times, actually a month, at my voice assistant. I still use her because for me it's female voice. Every day, all the day, like multiple times. But I've severely limited the things I do. And even those things, like half of the time, don't work. Like especially setting timers. It's kind of a 50-50 chance. If anything happens, if the thing happens I want it to, like, you never know. Which of my many devices will even respond? It's like I can be in the living room and there's like two big HomePods in front of me, but the one in the bedroom responds, stuff like that.
Yep, yep.
Yes.
I don't remarry ex-wives.
that's a smart idea.
I would say that too, Jeff. You need to just let go.
Yeah.
You can't fix her. Yeah. Even in the second or third marriage, she's not going to come back fixed.
Yeah.
Just let go.
Yeah, but that's not true. I mean, it's software, right? So it is possible. I mean, Apple has promised it and they pushed it out. The fact that none of the other assistants are that much better kind of tells me it's not an easy problem. Maybe our expectations have simply grown so much because we see what is, in theory, possible more these days. But it's,
sure, and we get promises.
Yeah, never anything that gets
delivered. Dysfunctional couples who want to get back together will promise the world.
True.
That's true. Yeah. And
but someone has to crack it. At some point. Yeah. I want the computer from Star Trek. I want a personal assistant kind of thing that I can just tell, do this, and it happens.
But Patrice, you just hit it. And this is why Jeff and I have had this discussion multiple times, and we will have it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's certain things in our culture have created those expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's your expectation, then all of the AI assistants, excuse me, all of the smart speakers fail miserably.
Yeah, they do.
But if you step back, and I'm not being an Apple apologist here, my uses of the S Lady are probably 90% of 95 to 98% effective, because I use it for certain things because I know it works, and I know that it will do those. But if I do, if I step outside that, well, see,
but
Dave,
see,
I don't have that.
But check. Here's the thing. I mean, I'm not expecting the Star Trek thing to happen today. That's for me more a like far future topic. But even the things promised to us don't work half of the time. And yes, I've done the thing you've done. I've reduced it down to like the couple things that I think reasonably most of the time will work. But even those are not super reliable. I mean, I asked her to close the like blinds in the kitchen and living room, and she closed them in the bedroom. It's like, and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. And that's where I'm like, and I've already reduced it down to, okay, these are the three things you can usually do. So this is what I will ask. I know how to ask it. Even then it's like 50-50 whether she does it or not.
Okay. Look, everybody, and this is where I think if that's your experience, then the comments are justified. But I can't go with it. And my only conclusion is either that it likes me better.
Maybe I've yelled at her so much that she kind of ignores me.
Remember, we're back to the whole discussion of do you say please in ChatGPT?
Yeah, I do say please.
I don't know. I understand Jeff's frustrations, not just with As It Is, but with the promises. But I just have to wonder if the, and look, I'd love to hear from other people that are having or not having the experience I am.
Yeah.
Well, Bob Beach in the chat, he says that Siri S Lady is very reliable for him, and I'm condensing everything he's saying down into a quick statement. S Lady works pretty reliably for him, does the things that he needs, but falls down when you give it queries where you need an answer, and far too often it says, hey, go do this on your phone, or I'll send the info to your phone.
Or tells you to go do this on the phone for things that you did like 30 seconds before on the device just fine.
Yeah, that too. Yep, I've had that.
Yeah. We should, I think, Chuck, you haven't done one, right?
No, I haven't, because everybody keeps taking the ones that I was going to talk about. So I will do one that I think sort of falls in this same discussion as the Genmoji and Meboji and all the emojis. And that's iMessage effects and animations. You know, I think they're cool. Under certain circumstances, they can actually enhance the message. But I feel like we need a campaign out there or something to remind people about them. Because I just, once in a while, I'll touch a wrong button or something and think, oh yeah, I forgot I can do that. And it's like, yeah, and I'll throw it out to somebody. And, you know, I always get an extra response when you throw one of those things in. So, you know, I don't know if this is overhyped or underhyped. You know, a lot of these things, I can't quite decide, but at the end of the day, they aren't getting enough attention, even though they were promoted as, oh my God, these are fantastic.
Hey, Chuck, I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
Please.
Dave has more important places to be than here with us.
Yeah, he has to go on stage and perform his whatever thing.
Yeah.
Right. So, Dave, I know you need to leave.
Yeah,
so
thanks. I appreciate it.
I wanted to acknowledge that and tell you thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Let people know where they can find you before you have to drop out.
I appreciate that. Just find me at InTouchWithIOS, InTouchWithIOS.com, and then social media is Blue Sky, Mastodon, Dave G65. Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of the show, and thanks for letting me pop in for a little bit.
Hey, have a really good time at the game.
I will.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, before you go, I just got to point this out, because when you first came on today, I'm on Marty's suggestion. I'm working through the series Manhunt, about the hunt for John Wilkes Booth on Apple TV Plus, and when I first popped on, you look exactly like a Confederate soldier. On that note.
Thanks, guys.
On that bombshell.
How did Dave piss you off?
No, it's just free association, man. Free association.
All right, have a great rinse show. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
I mean, Chuck, we're not going to get into what that now says about you. So.
Yeah, it is a little terrifying, I grant you.
And Chuck, there are big differences between a baseball cap and a kepi, okay?
But again, it was just free association. Just, you know, just maybe it was the way he had it cocked on his head. I'm not sure. But, you know, and the color, of course.
All right. Well, it should have been gray.
Oh, that's right. Oh, shoot. Oh, well. Oh, well.
Let's pick another thing.
Confederate gray.
Yeah.
Well, I cut Chuck off in the middle of
his. Sorry. Yes, Chuck.
No. Well, that says it. I feel like it was promoted as this really big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, sometimes I wonder if Apple doesn't try to announce too many things too quick together, and then you forget about them. You know, because they're overshadowed by bigger features. So it'll be interesting to see, because we're all right now. I'm tired. I'm tired of seeing about all these iOS 26 and OS 26 features that are coming.
Yeah.
Because I'm not running a beta, you know, I know what the highlights are, but by the time they get here, I'm only going to remember the major features.
Yeah. I think it's a combination of Apple needs features every year that they can talk about, like stuff that excites people, even if it's only on slides and videos and in the news at the end. And I think the other part is it's probably some feature that a developer or a couple people thought were really cool from a technological or just idea perspective, so they get implemented and they make it, and then it turns out they move on.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 70 new things that are going to be on the new OS or whatever it is, I'm probably going to use 2
mm-hmm. or probably. 3. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You will forget all the others existed. I mean, it happens to me already. I mean, I'm betas everywhere, and I'm like, I've already forgotten 99% of what's new. Like, I'll pick the next thing. For me, live photos. I loved them when they came out, and I used them for about a hot second. And I don't anymore. And actually, I get annoyed when people share. Like, they take a picture and they don't realize it was a live photo, so they kind of share it with you. And I'm like, it's not that good.
The number of people who send me live photos where they don't even know what a live photo is. They just think you're taking photos.
Yes.
Yeah, I do occasionally use live photos. For example, several days ago, we had a torrential rainstorm. To the point where I expected to see animals 2x2. and I didn't need a video to send to the friend that wanted to see the storm. So I just did a live photo, and that was plenty. But that's the first time I've made a live photo in at well over a year, maybe longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm with you on live photos.
Yeah. The last time I used live photos was when I went on a tour of waterfalls in Ireland. And taking those 7-second shots, or whatever is 5 seconds that you get with a live photo, and then using it to give that kind of misty effect, cloudy effect that you can do by compressing all that into one.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
About the only reason I've ever used live photos or found them of value. But like some of you have mentioned, when people send it to you, what you get is this 5 seconds of people jumping around in what they think was a still shot, but is just the... And it's okay. Yeah.
You see people's feet and then they put the camera up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
The one thing I would like, I'd love to see, because I like live photos. I mean, I feel like they give me a little more flexibility. Mm-hmm. And Marty, I think you just alluded to it. You know, you can pick exactly which frame you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If somebody blinked their eyes or turned their head or whatever, you have a better shot of getting something you can use. But I would like to see an adjustment to live photos that I could actually capture a little more either before or after the button push. And, you know, with perhaps, but, and I know that that might compound the problem, Patrice, but.
Yeah, it will. No, but I mean, one, iOS already does that. It will actually take multiple photos and then pick the one that's most appropriate. So the one that you see is actually already picked. And then you could always enable burst mode and then you get to like select a bunch of them. You don't need the live photo to pick the best photo. It's actually the quality is usually worse, to be honest, because it's doing video. Like, I don't know if you've noticed that. The quality is actually not as good as if you take a still photo.
I guess I haven't looked at, I haven't done a side-by-side comparison, but you know, it's a feature I think people don't understand or don't understand how to use.
Yeah, so overhyped.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or under-promoted.
Underdeveloped maybe as well.
I think underdeveloped.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I'm going to throw out a controversial one.
Okay.
Focus modes.
Ooh, interesting. I kind of agree. Okay.
Yeah, focus modes are fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it is so cool that you have so much flexibility in how you set up what you're doing with focus modes.
Mm-hmm.
However, for all the hype that Apple put into it initially, what has happened? How many people actually use this feature, and how many people are using it effectively? I would venture to speculate that most people focus mode, they don't even know they're doing it. That just they know how to put the do not disturb thing on, and to them it's just do not disturb. It is, they don't equate that as a focus mode.
Yeah.
And driving mode, that's not a focus mode to them.
That's true.
And most people don't even use driving mode.
No, it gets turned on automatically and nobody knows how to turn it off.
Right. And then they're pissed off because they didn't get phone calls when they were on the way to the grocery store. So instead of being this thing that empowered people to use their phone the way they want in context, it became this thing that just I don't think many people actually use.
It's true. I think even for me, it's way too complex. I mean, I use it. I use exactly two, or three maybe. Sleep, driving, and I have a podcast focus mode that I enable when I go here that turns off stuff on and off. That's it. All the others, I'm like, I don't even know what to do with it.
Yeah.
There's too many conditions for each one of the focus. And if I switch to a focus mode, okay, what am I not getting? What am I getting?
Mm-hmm.
I just have to keep too much in my head in order to do that, other than just filtering it and go, okay, I really need not to be bothered right now. I'm just going to put on do not disturb and then forget about it for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Yes.
And my kids are not getting a hold of me. They're wondering why I'm not responding to messages. Yeah.
I feel like this is more of a geek tool or a product or a geek productivity tool, because you're right. When I've played with focus modes, once in a while I find one that or find a setting that really means something to me, but then I forget to turn it off, and then things aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, and so I find it. Just it's not worth the trouble, and the downside of it is not worth the upside. So,
yeah.
Again, are we undertrained, or undereducated, or underinformed, or is what Jeff just said about one of the earlier picks? Is this just something that is underdeveloped?
I'm hearing a theme across a lot of the complaints that we're having, and.
Is this the German episode? We complain about stuff.
It is. Oh my God! Yes. Okay. If I distill what I'm hearing down to a single word, I would say discoverability. And but if I expand that out, Apple has created a lot of interesting features. In some cases, they're actually potentially really useful features, but they're mired down in layers at times where they aren't intuitive to find, or there's too much complexity around getting into the feature or even using the feature. And I see this, I'm not bagging on Apple for this, although I kind of am. The big problem that I see is you can make something that's very complex and very useful. You can make something that's very simple and intuitive. The really hard thing is to take something that's complex and present it in a way that's simple and intuitive.
Yeah.
And I think right now there's just so much that we can do. Our operating systems are so complex.
Yeah.
That we're in this phase that we may or may not get out of, where no one has figured out the way to take this really complex thing we have and make it simple and intuitive across the board.
Yeah. Do you think the problem is how someone called it, feature effing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, okay, here's a place where AI, not LLM, but AI could really be useful, where on device it does more than what we already have, where our iPhones learn our routines and what we do, but take it to the next level where it really understands what we're doing and then can proactively set up focus modes or whatever it is that we need and become an assistant as opposed to a way to make messed up Genmoji.
I'm Chuck said something a bit back where he talked about there's just so much into this, and it, maybe this is like a productivity nerd's kind of went with focus mode. The thing that I find, you know, right now I'm in a Zoom call. My computer knows I'm in a Zoom call. Computer should know to turn on do not disturb for the period of time I'm in a Zoom call. And when I get out of the Zoom call, it should know to be able to turn that back do not disturb off. That's the type of assistance that AI could be providing us. I can't do the productivity thing because trying to figure out all the little spaces and all the little places that I'm going to be and what needs to be turned on or turned off, and even some of the productivity models are just such down to a granular level that it's not helpful. It becomes more, it puts more steps into what I need to do to get something done versus getting something done. And I admire those folks who talk about productivity, but I'd rather just start the project, you know, versus plotting it all out and doing Gantt charts and all those kinds of things. Just start the damn project.
But by the way, Marty, you can enable focus modes based on apps, but I think it's only when it's only trigger is when you open the app. So if Zoom is running all day, it doesn't really help.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who has the next one?
It would have been Dave, I think. But to me, I could say, I don't know. This is... I don't think it was overhyped. It just never seems to work correctly for me. Mm-hmm. And that's iCloud Drive, Desktop, and Document Sync.
Oh, yeah.
I just run into problems with it. And now they even have like a optimizing switch on it that's buried. It's very hard to find. Although when you search to find it, it's like, oh, you just do this and you'll find it. Mm-hmm. No, it's buried. And
yes.
You have to read it carefully because it's kind of a reverse logic that the switch directions for me, I wanted to, I've got enough hard drive on the computers I buy. Mm-hmm. I want the desktop to have all of my working documents and I want them to be shared.
Mm-hmm.
And I set up a computer, upgraded it, and it had me redo that whole sync. And then that rippled through all of the all the computers that I have,
mm-hmm.
and I had to go back and fix each one individually.
Yeah.
So that's my frustration.
I mean, this is a feature I'm pretty sure came out of support. That, like, you know, people, they I don't know, something happens with their spinning hard drives and or their Macs in general. I don't know, they get lost, they get stolen, they broke, whatever. And then they don't have backups, of course. And, of course, they didn't put everything in iCloud Drive. So they're like, oh, no, everything is on my desktop or everything is in my documents folder. So now it's gone. So Apple's mm-hmm. solution for that was, well, maybe we should sync those automatically for most people so that you, like, you have everything. The problem is it doesn't work.
It's the way I organize my work.
Yeah.
I did a podcast just last week where we were talking about organizing clutter mm-hmm. and how to do that. And that's my desktop. And mm-hmm. it, for me, it needs to show up on each laptop that I open up.
Yeah, it should be. It should be, yeah. But the problem is it doesn't work properly.
Yeah.
Right? Half of the time. I mean, it's a general iCloud Drive problem we see often. Like, it just stops syncing sometimes. And you don't know why. There is nothing you can do. It's just hope that eventually it will fix itself.
So does anyone keep their documents folder in Dropbox?
I do. I have, well, not Dropbox, but OneDrive, but yes.
Okay.
I'll give you a yes, but it's not my regular documents.
That's true.
I've set up this whole structure in Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the stuff that I need regardless of what device I'm on. Client files,
mm-hmm.
Other working projects, like going to MacStock, everything that I needed to prepare for MacStock, all of that lives on Dropbox. So Dropbox is actually my primary storage medium.
Yeah.
And it's been great on more than one occasion. You know, like something's wrong with my Mac. Back when I had one of the Lemon Macs with the butterfly keyboards, it spent about as much time on Apple workbenches as it did on my desk.
On your workbench.
On my workbench. And so it would be off. I would just grab the MacBook Air I was using at the time,
mm-hmm.
fire it up, and it didn't matter that I hadn't turned on the computer for weeks. Everything I needed is just right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I use it as well. But
my files are just right there.
Yeah, but
yeah, I mean, and I ask because that to me is what iCloud Drive and the syncing should be. And I've tried it, and you know, it's not as quick as Dropbox, and it doesn't seem now depending on what kind of files you're using, it can take a while to sync up to Dropbox if you're talking about large video files. Everything else works fine. iCloud Drive has just been a little bit shaky on that,
mm-hmm.
but you know, we go back to the privacy thing, and I have not put all my documents files, my documents folder on Dropbox because of privacy concerns. Definitely not put it on OneDrive because of privacy concerns. So, you know, I wish this feature worked better, and I think it's mm-hmm. been. You're right. It's been hyped, but there's still issues, too many issues with it to make me comfortable using it.
The thing is, when it works great. When it doesn't, it doesn't. And there's nothing you can do about it. Like with OneDrive or Dropbox or any of the others, like Nextcloud, if you want to run your own, like you have some level of control, some level of recourse. You can force it, you can restart it, whatever. Doesn't work so well with iCloud. I mean, I've had it where it was like through reboots and everything, just stuck. It was showing as uploading with like 0 kilobytes out of whatever 50, and that's it. And just doing nothing, like nothing. You had to disable it, save all your files because you don't know what it uploaded or didn't upload it. So better have a copy and then reinitialize it. Basically wipe everything locally, re-download it, and then sync back what's missing basically. And that's not a good solution.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Add to that when you have to call Apple support because something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things they want you to do is log out of your Apple ID.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the last thing I ever want to do,
mm-hmm.
ever, because everything is suddenly broken.
Yes. And you have to reset up everything, basically.
You have to reset up everything.
Sorry. Did everybody now do a second one? Or did we skip someone?
I think so.
It's just me.
Okay.
Oh, I've done at least two.
Okay, just checking because I lost track.
I think I did too. Yeah, I know I did too.
Okay.
Yeah, we've all done at least two, which means this is probably a good time now to remind everyone about the live chat. And Patrice, do you mind doing that?
Yeah, we have a really cool live chat. We have right now, Bobbich just left, but he was in the chat earlier. We have some cool people joining us, including us, of course. And the live chat system is super easy. Like if you've ever used YouTube or one of the other platforms, you know how it works. You just head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com when we're streaming this live. It's a Fediverse thing, so you can even get notified if you want to. But it's also easy to remember because the Mac show is Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time, and the Big Show is Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time. And yesterday we talked about our travel approaches, like how do we travel, like how do we organize travel and all of that. What tools maybe we use. Well, it was really cool. Summer of Fun episode. And the chat is on the right-hand side. So left is on the left is the video, on the right is the chat. You just start typing. It generates names for you, like the Tender Ellen, for example. But if you want to change that up top, there's a purple button. Click on it, tap on it, change name, and that's it. We have a transcript of everything that was said in the chat, so you can just go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, pick a date. Thursdays or Fridays are a good bet, I would say. The other days you will not find anything. But if you click on today's date, which would be August 15th, 2025, you would see what we talked about in the chat. That's how easy it is.
Awesome. Awesome. We also have a sponsor.
We do.
Which is Aw Technology.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing is making sure we have the server so that we can do all of this. And that's super generous. Ewan knows a little bit about that company. I wish he was here so he could tell us about that. If you need a company that can handle setting up all of your remote video monitoring needs.
Yeah, for construction site mostly. Like that's mm-hmm. their specialty. So like... especially Trine, but any kind of construction, whether it's environmental, like video, like they do really cool, like time lapses. They monitor like temperatures and dust and vibrations and like other really cool stuff. It's really, really cool technology. They use it like in the UK a lot, but he's also been outside. So if you have a construction project of any sort, Trine or not, that could benefit from this, yeah, reach out, awtechnologies.co.uk.
Awesome. So thank you, Aw Technologies. And I think we've done enough...
complaining.
Damage.
Damage. German praise.
German praise. Oh, that's true, yes.
Yeah. So we might as well wrap up and get to the rest of Friday... and start enjoying the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So Marty, your assignment after the show is done is to kick back and just screw off and relax for the rest of the day.
Oh, I am having a salad, taking a nap, and then having a late Zoom meeting with a student who needs to organize some things, and that's my weekend.
Well, at least there's some put your feet up and nap time in there too, so acceptable. Yeah. Hey, Chuck, where can people find you?
You can find everything I do over at MacVoices.com, or everything I'm willing to share over at MacVoices.com. We do a live show Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. On the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. And otherwise, I'm back here talking about what I like and don't like about Apple's OSs and recent news here on the Mac Show.
Awesome. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week, almost every week here on the Mac Show on Fridays and also the Big Show on Thursdays, except when I'm traveling. Everything I'm doing, all the podcasts, projects, social media on my website, thepatrice.com, will take you there. And with a certain Jeff Gemmett, I have a podcast called Retro Rewatch. We're rewatching retro TV shows. And yeah, it usually shows that Jeff has not seen before and I love. We're in the beginning of season 3 of Stargate SG-1. I think episode 2 should be out shortly. And awesome. you're gonna learn what's happening. It's a really cool episode. We did recently also, we throw in some random other bits, and we did one about Gilmore Girls, which Jeff did actually enjoy. It's a very ADHD episode, so just right up my alley. And yeah, it's also out. So head over to retrorewatch.com.
That was a fun episode to do. All of our episodes are fun.
Oh, yes.
That one was.
Yes.
Marty, where can people find you?
Not watching Gilmore Girls. I would have to, jam something into the sockets of my eyes if that was on. But
your Vision Pro.
You're missing.
Yes. Something.
You're missing out.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know all about Gilmore Girls. I have an adult daughter who went through that whole phase, and it was a mom and daughter bonding thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not allowed in the room. You can find me at Gencius, Gencius, at mastodon.social or Gencius at Blue Sky. Projects that I do, you can find at the website, thepodtalk.net. Monday nights, live stream, 9 p.m., but we also record it for video and audio, the Vision Profiles. And Dave, who's off to the ballpark, generally joins us there on that. Tuesday nights with Chuck on Mac Voices with a whole gang of fun folks. And Thursdays with Dave on In Touch with iOS. And it's always my pleasure because every week seems like a new death sentence at work, to be here on a Friday morning with the British Tech Network and these fine friends.
Well, I'm glad that we all get to spend this time together. Mm-hmm. And
is this show the Death Watch then?
Don't know.
No. Well, how about if I say, if we were all together, I would have consensual hugs for all of you.
Oh.
Chuck's would be a little bit longer and a little bit awkward. Wouldn't have it any other way. Anyhow, you can find me on social media as Jay Gamut. I'm most active right now on Mastodon and Blue Sky and PixelFed. And then for shows, well, I guess up until now, on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live and on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. And then here on Thursdays for the Big Show, Fridays for the Mac Show, Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine. And as Patrice pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch. And I'm looking forward to hearing what we have to say about the next episode of Stargate SG-1. All right. So with that, hey, thank you, everyone, that's been here live with us, watching, listening, participating in the live stream. All of you rock. Everyone that watches and listens to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. And more of that family, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And Odd Technologies, thank you for being here and sponsoring us. Okay, with that, I believe it's now time for Marty to take a nap, and I do not want to interrupt that quality time. So, everyone, thank you again for joining us. Don't forget to come back next Thursday for the Big Show, again on Friday for the Mac Show, and everyone, have an awesome weekend.